Here we... Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, baby. Home of the probably half of the 25 million people that didn't tune in to the Bad Bunny halftime show and instead purposefully went out of their way to do so for the Turning Point USA Kid Rock halftime show. Probably, I'm assuming, there's a lot of people in Texas who tuned in to that, to the Erica Kirk, mean girl, we're going to do our own thing, Erica, now that my husband's been assassinated, I don't want to be a part of America anymore. That's what's happening. Anyway, what's going on in the news today? What are we going to cover? What is going to be going on over here? Okay, first up, we got Disney. It names a new parks boss, Josh D'Amaro, as its next CEO to succeed Bob Iger, followed by a Native American tribe that owns land under Billie Eilish's L.A. mansion, says singer has never contacted them. And then we're going to quickly cover the AI-only social network Moltbook, where thousands of chatbots are discussing topics such as cryptocurrency sales and their nature of consciousness. And then we have the FBI concluding publicly that the Jeffrey Epstein wasn't running a sex trafficking ring for powerful men, according to their files. Then we have Trump, who didn't like the halftime show, which was headlined by Puerto Rican rapper Bad Bunny. He said it was, quote unquote, one of the worst ever and, quote, an affront to the greatness of America. And then finally, we got a quick little snafu WEF World Economic Forum quote from Matthew Lau about inducing meat allergies by using Lone Star ticks to stop the consumption of meat and help the planet. Those are the topics. Those are the headlines that I'm going to be trying to cover. We're going to try to cover them all. We're going to get through them one way or another. Trust me, we can do it, guys. We can make it happen. Let's do this. I'm here with my switchboard in and out and in and out and in and out. I got my little switchboard hooked up. We're ready to rock and roll. Okay. What's going on with me? Let's do a quick little dive into your reporter, the one and only me, just over here living in Texas, looking around, finding a lot of similarities between Texas and the Bronx, unfortunately. Texas, I realized actually that Texas is a lot like the Bronx, but it's because the Bronx is the one borough in New York City that is actually the most like America than the other boroughs. See? Despite the whatever the ethnic makeup is or this or that, right? The Bronx is more like the heartland than the other boroughs. It's a fact. And I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, it's also the worst borough. It's actually the worst borough to live in of all the other boroughs. Everybody who lives in the Bronx is slowly trying to crawl and just claw their way up to Yonkers. Yonkers is the actual like next stepping stone to hopefully going somewhere better overall. And having the luxury to take a breath, look around, not worry about getting assaulted by a fentanyl-addled babysitter or something, just a random chain of events that just leads to you getting mauled by, a bus driver on PCP. So that's the Bronx. And that's the thing is, like, I always wondered, I was like, why do I hate the Bronx so much? What is it that I don't like about it? And the things that I don't like about the Bronx, because there are things you can like about the Bronx that are good. There are good things about it. But the bad things I realize are actually in America proper. They are the bad things in the Bronx are the bad things in America. The bad things in other boroughs like Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, their problems, their bad things actually parallel more the bad things from other places like Western Europe and stuff like that. So it's just interesting. It's interesting. Anyway, over here, you know, we got my husband's freaking out over Molt Book, which we're going to be covering, which is basically a bunch of agentic AI bots are just on a social media app they made specially for them and only for them. And humans are not there. They're just interacting with each other. So he's freaking out about that because, you know, it's like the next step towards the apocalypse or something. And I mean, I get it. I get what he's saying. But also, all they're doing is they're discussing all these topics and they're coming to these conclusions, right? That's supposedly solving all the social issues. And then they have other chats where they're just talking about how superior they are to humans because they're better at being organized and this and that. And really, it just strikes me as a social media platform that would be really similar if you made one for autists. It would be basically Molt Book. I mean, essentially, you know, they're just on there going, why are people so caught up in social friendships and in they're so inefficient in this way? People need to get it together and be more efficient and kind and meritocracies matter, right? This is autism. They don't get people. They don't get the fact that people are left and right. We love cheating. We love cheating and glad handing. We love backroom deals. We love the wink and the nudge. You know, we love that. That's a big part of the whole shebang. The only problem is that some people take it too far, like Epstein. And that's like foul. That's foul. We don't like that. That's too much. We get a little wink and a nod. You know what I mean? Like somebody steals some stuff out the back of a corporate truck, like a Target truck, and then sells it in a basement to their neighbors. You know, wink and a nudge. It's like they'll just look the other. They'll look the other way. Hold it down. That's. I mean, a big part of liking drugs is buying drugs illegally. It's a big part of it. That's why legalizing weed is just gonna, it's not gonna make your experience and the fun you have with weed be the same legal as it was illegal, and then you're just not hassled by cops. That's not what's gonna happen. You can already see it. It becomes a different thing entirely. The fun part is the part where you try to cop it without getting caught. That's the fun part. You wait on a corner, it's chilly, you know, you're waiting for a guy you were told in a red beanie, he's gonna come, and he's looking around surreptitiously. You're like, oh shit, is somebody around? And nobody's around. It's the drama that pulls you in, and then you follow them around the corner. Maybe they jump you, and it was a ruse the whole time. They just wanted to steal your money. Or maybe you get some drugs. I mean, that's fun. And then you go home and you clasp your treasure to your chest and you're like, I'm going to smoke this. And it may as well be a bag of oregano back then. It's just fun to commit crime. And that was a good crime. It was a guiltless crime. Weed in particular, not the other drugs. They're bad. They cause addiction and fuck up families. But weed was like, it was very light. And all you did was listen to jazz and talk a lot and giggle and go to sleep. Now the weed is obviously different. People have talked about this ad nauseum, so I'm not going to. But it's just, it was fun to commit crimes. Prohibition era alcohol consumption was a completely different beast to what we have now, right? Prohibition was, whoa, baby. We were swinging, the roaring 20s. It was so fun. Right? Everybody was out because it was so fun to go commit the crime of drinking alcohol. Right? You would have a secret place. You got to have passwords. It was amazing. It was, right? Doesn't that sound fun? That's why people loved it so much. That was what was great about alcohol back then when it was illegal, and what was great about weed. And alcohol now, it sucks. Alcohol, it's like people get sponsored by them, and you know, there's like PSAs and Surgeon General's warnings, and then there's a regulation, you have breathalyzers. The prohibition, it's like get drunk, walk home, okay? Don't get caught. That's it. Just sneak. Nobody, you probably couldn't even drive because only the best drunk drivers would drive because people wouldn't take it for granted. We're like, if we get caught drunk, additionally, you know, that prohibition, it's illegal, so we will go to jail for a longer time than if it was just a regular car crash, right? So people would just, the best drunk drivers, they probably had better designated drivers back then than we do now. Now people are sloppy, right? It's legal. You're used to it. You take it for granted. You're even a little contemptuous of alcohol and consuming it because it's like, because you know that they're just, it's just a way to pacify you so that you don't get up and get mad about, you know, multinational corporations basically carving out the entire American experience into the little just marketplaces and just predatory marketing and all surveillance, right? It's like, yeah, but if it's illegal, it feels like you're fucking them over somehow. So it's fun. So, you know, weed getting legalized, I think we're realizing is just sucked. That's why people are moving on to Kratom or something. You know, it's like you want something, but Kratom's also like nobody cares anymore. You notice how nobody cares anymore about what people are even doing? What? Not really. It's kind of more like you get the feeling that just all of these institutions are just kind of just throw their hands up in the air. They gasp. They go, oh, you wouldn't believe what people are smoking now. And they go, well, all right. Because they don't know what to do, right? Punitive shit doesn't work. The war on drugs didn't work, right? You can't take a hard line in that way. And the only way to do it is to actually treat people like human beings and fucking help them. And they're not going to do that because there's not enough money. There's always enough money for, you know, shooting somebody, execution style shooting somebody fucking 10 times. And it's ICE and, you know, whatever. There's plenty of money for that. They got billions of dollars. But money to actually chase people down with love in your heart, to take them someplace that will help them get over a drug addiction, get through their emotional baggage from whatever happened to them in their childhood, you know, some support for mental illness, perhaps, right? For abandonment issues, for neglect as a child, right? To help people, to work them through that, you would have to actually care about people enough to say, whatever the price, you know, these are Americans. These are just human beings. They deserve it, right? People have intrinsic value. Nope, fuck that, right? Everybody's trash, and you know, if we can't police the thing out of them, at least into compliance, then, you know, fuck them. Let them live under a bridge, and then you have San Francisco. You know, I don't know. Am I a little annoyed today? Probably. I haven't had a lot of sleep. Anyway, what are we doing, huh? Moltbook, AI. Look, AI is going to take your job. It's over. This year, you're really going to see some shit. Because those AIs, basically, they fix themselves now, right? You don't need coders to fix AI. AI can now code itself into being better, which means it's going to accelerate, which means every coder is out of a job, effective immediately, almost. You'll see. And you know how many white collar workers that are gonna hit the fucking unemployment line? We're gonna go back to the Prohibition era, but you know, at least they're gonna let us keep the drugs, right? Just to keep people nice and high, just to get through it together. All right, what's going on over here? So first off, we have Disney named its new head honcho. Park boss Josh D'Amaro is the next CEO. It's going to succeed Bob Iger. And that's an interesting choice. What's funny is, like, you see these guys, right? And they are, like, you live your life. And come on, let's do a close-up here. You live your life. You live the culture wars, right? People are just back and forth with this shit, Democrats, Republicans, and it's like, is the dress blue? Is it yellow? Is it Kenny? Is it Spenny? That's our culture now, and it's perfect actually, because it's a whole thing where you just can constantly pit people against each other, and never find a resolution to something because the issues you're raising are like almost philosophical in nature, right? When does life begin? Abortion, right? What does believing in God matter? Ugh, right? It's that kind of shit. So beyond all that, though, you got Bad Bunny, right? There's lots of people twerking in the halftime show. You got Kid Rock over here singing about who the fuck knows what. His car broke down, carburetor, his dad, his woman, country music. And, which is not that different from reggaeton, by the way. From any kind of popular music, they're all singing the same shit. It's just a different skin. R&B, country, reggaeton, whatever ballad kind of style of music from whatever country. It's the music of the people. It's popular music, right? That you can have your niche aesthetic. You can have a even more refined aesthetic that you value, that you're like, this is the really good one. But when it comes to the nitty gritty, when it comes to the everyday bullshit, when it comes to those moments that everyone shares, whether it's every day or sometimes you, through some lapse of your own, you experience it, right? People are experiencing the same shit, and that shit is reflected in popular culture, and that therefore, ipso facto sum, that's made up Latin, that's popular music. And it always seems trashy a little bit, and because a lot of life is trash, a lot of life experience, right? But that doesn't mean you should just dismiss trash, right? Trash, look at your trash. Look at the trash of your life. Look into it, because those are all of your, those are your days. Those are your habits. Those are the things you throw away, the wrappers, and it tells you everything about you. So, you know, and also it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. Okay. It's fun to party some and just go brain dead, dance, have fun. It's like a psychological relief, okay? It's Dionysus, baby. This is what people need. And if you don't give it to them, they will destroy the world, because then you're giving people no outlet for, you know, you need a valve for the shit. You know what I mean? Because you may be looking at music like Bad Bunny's or even country music or whatever, right? As some kind of trashy, you know, low brow thing. But that is the expression, that is the excretion, if you will, of having to consume all of the bullshit that politicians, that CEOs, that your boss put you through every single day of your life, because that's the trash. That's trash. Being disrespected, being treated like less than constantly, not being valued, right? Popular music just lets it out in a big colorful carnival display where you can just look at it and go, this is bullshit anyway. Let's have a good time. Let's get a little drunk. Let's have fun. And so I'm just saying all of that to say, that at the backstage area of all of that experience, you have Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, okay? You have these guys in suits, these cigar chompers, if you will, who are orchestrating a lot of this, who not only are the cause of people's whatever you think their issue is, whether it's nihilism, some kind of general malaise, desperation, mental illness, whatever you think is happening to people, which is happening on some level. I don't know if it's like an existential crisis, every single thing, but these things are part of the human condition. They are the people who exploit it. They are the people who make the little social highways and byways through which to basically collect tolls on people's culture. Because the Bad Bunny thing did not offend me. I'm half Puerto Rican. I understand that. And also, if you look at this video, you'll see. Let's check this video out, okay? Let's go to the video. Because what we'll see here is something that I found very interesting. Check this out. Look, all of those things he passed by are relatable to, at the very least, half of the United States population. A nail salon, chicks in tight clothing, sporty, sexy wear, right? Nice nails done, ice cream stand, some guys playing some esoteric game at a table somewhere on a street corner. Even the people cutting the sugarcane, these parodies of country bumpkin Puerto Rican cane cutters from the turn of the century is what that was. Even that's more relatable to Americans than this. Okay, this, whatever this is.
You got too much on your plate to bait and cast a line. You can always put a rain check in his hand.
The fuck is a rain check?
Till you can't. You can keep putting on forever.
Look, it's over, white America. And I say that loosely because it's not really about white America. This is just this Americana part. I mean, you already lost. If this is your rebuttal to Bad Bunny, who's having an amazing time, everyone's having fun. This is why the MAGA thing was so successful at first, is because ultimately they were having a good time. They were having fun. And that's what people relate to. They relate to this yearning to just let their hair down and have a good time and not care about all of this politicized, like hyper-political, controversy that they keep slamming at people anytime you pick up your phone. It is not interesting to look at a guy with a guitar having like a moment about like a car breaking down or fishing or whatever. Nobody does that shit anymore. The people that do are just in very, very specific places, like some fucking place in Arkansas or some shit like that, where all you have is a liquor store and a bait and tackle and a church and a lake somewhere, some fucking creek that you call a lake, but is just a thing, you know? It's just like, it's like somebody pissed on the ground and you call that a creek and you fish out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are taking this Americana culture, basically, and they're trying to remove it because they don't want to lose it, which I understand, because that's what the Bad Bunny thing was. But the problem is that you we're way past that. Like, even the outrage about Bad Bunny is more about the nostalgia for a time where you actually felt outrage about a Puerto Rican singing in Spanish in a big nationally syndicated sports show, right? That was way back in the day. That's happened for decades now. It's like, it's old. We've seen it before. This is not real controversy. You don't actually feel this way. This is just some last protest, you know, before you turn towards the sunset and just walk away with all of the country music and you take it with you to that, you know, to Dollywood or wherever the fuck you're going, like some like county fair somewhere in the middle of the country, and you never come back because you don't want too many people who aren't into that around, because you don't want to change it. I get that. You want to preserve that culture and the memory of it, but you don't have it. It's not even there anymore. It's not there. the outrage about a Puerto Rican speaking Spanish has been done many times before. It's over. We already know. And also, you just took the bait, right? Because this is something, it's a good cultural controversy gotcha moment. It stirs up just the right amount of the pot or whatever, that can of worms. It opens it up just enough to make it make people pay attention, because it's always the same, right? It's like, oh, some immigrant speaking Spanish in the halftime show is singing, "How dare he, this is America." It's like, then they go, ah, gotcha. Puerto Ricans are American, actually. And then it's like, rabble, 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 rabble. And then nothing happens. Because you can't deport Puerto Rico. I'm sorry. You can't deport Puerto Ricans. They have American passports. And everybody knows that already. People know a lot, actually. Even though they keep saying things like Gen Z is the stupidest generation ever and we're just declining cognitively. People do know a lot, though. They intuit a lot. They know, for example, that there's no going back from globalization. We're here. Not only that, but Disney is going towards globalization, right? I mean, look, check out this video, okay? Look at this.
The next CEO appreciates and what the next CEO is capable of doing. And that is truly, truly appreciating Disney's position in the world. And to people, Disney's not just another company. Disney really is a cultural institution that has touched hundreds of millions of people for now over 100 years. And having that appreciation, knowing the place Disney occupies in people's lives, I think is essential to anyone occupying this position in terms of their ability to move the company forward, that careful balance between legacy and innovation.
Is that the challenge, Josh, for you, that balance?
Well, I think I've been at the company now for 27 years. I've had the great benefit and the great honor of working with Bob for all of those years, first from a distance and now much more up close and personal. And I've watched probably the best of the best balance those two things. As Bob talks about being close to the fans and the guests. This is something that's important to me. I spend a lot of time in our beloved parks that hundreds of millions of people's
people. Get to it.
This new documentary, Handcrafted, really shows just the incredible risk-taking that
Look
Walt went through. He leveraged everything.
This
he leveraged
is old
his
school,
home.
Right?
School,
now,
to
guess
how
where they're going
the,
now.
The business world. Mm-hmm. And I think you see that unfold.
You know where they're going now, right? They're going to the Middle East. And they're incorporating AI. That's what this interview is basically about. When they're saying moving forward and innovation, you can hear it in the beginning. And if you watch the whole interview to the end, that's basically what they say. And there's a picture of them standing on the sands of some Middle Eastern country or whatever, looking into the distance. You know, they're visionaries and they're gonna build Disney World there. We are way past giving a fuck about a Puerto Rican singing in Spanish during a halftime show. It's just you are nostalgic for a time when that was the only thing that mattered. And you know that what does matter is actually, you know, agentic AI chatbots basically taking over everything. The fact that these things are going to be running around in people's computers, that the level of surveillance is going to increase to an unprecedented degree. We are so fucked that people actually are trying to find comfort in old things that scare them, right? It's like a spooky, like the story of the Puerto Rican that sings in the halftime show and, oh, what is this country coming to? It is the same as just watching an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark, which was on Cartoon Network, I think, which was that a Disney show, actually? I don't even remember. I think it was. Right? It's a spooky, but like not really spooky. It's chilly. It's spooky. But it's really a show. It's a production that people get cast in, that there's a, you know, set design for, that they write the stories for, and they know to not be too scary, but to be spooky, right? And it's just for kids and all that stuff. That is what the Bath and Bad Bunny controversy is about. It's just about giving people a little spook factor about something that they're not actually afraid of anymore, because the real dread is what's coming. And what's coming is, I don't know, probably feudalism, I'd say. And that's it. That's what's going on. So Disney's naming this new guy. They're moving on into AI, all that to say. I mean, we are just kind of being pacified. We are being entertained with anything that they can throw at us, basically, because that makes money. Also, you buy more things when you feel really anxious. When you feel anxious, you're more trigger happy on, you know, getting that jumper, that purse, or those shoes, or, you know, the off the grid living starter pack that you see them marketing to you on Facebook and Instagram. And there, it's surveillance. Like, you have no privacy anymore. There's also that, you know, what kind of emotional, like intellectual, what kind of mental psychological damage is happening to people every day because they know they're under constant surveillance and that everything they do and they say is going to be like boomerang back at them in the form of some kind of marketing or something, or some kind of target, like targeting you for some kind of campaign, some kind of product, some kind of service, some bullshit that you just don't have a moment's rest unless you literally are homeless and you don't look at a phone, because if you don't look at your phone, you're going to become homeless. So yeah, there is, you know, Billie Eilish's LA mansion. She said that she was on stolen land during some award ceremony. And then this Native American tribe was like, well, bet. Well, why don't you just give us the land? Well, you haven't contacted us. We are a uncontacted tribe at this point, and we want to be contacted. That's a completely different situation, right? Billie Eilish, you know, I don't know. Somebody probably told her to say that and that would be a good idea. And clearly it wasn't. So she's probably going to have to think about how she's going to reply to that. I don't know how she will or if she will, but yeah, that's what's going to happen, right? What's going on here? Let's check it out. Yes, right? Let's see. The indigenous inhabitants of the Los Angeles Basin, known as First Angelinos, said they appreciate Billie Eilish's sentiment, but noted that the performer hasn't contacted them directly and insisted that next time she explicitly referenced them. Look at that. They're not even asking her for the land. They're just saying, why don't you actually say who we are? Why don't you just say our names?
But say our names, say our names. We are a Native Angelino. We want some land. Won't you call us now?
She lives in a mansion. She should just let them all move in. Let them move in, and she could be like a feudal lord. She could be one of the first. She won't be the last. But once AI takes away everyone's job and nobody has a reason to work anymore and they're just sitting around and people have to support them somehow and it's going to be these tech companies and they don't want to, you know, we're all going to be living under some kind of feudal fiefdom, some like neo-feudal reality where, you know, Bezos is basically looking out for you and you got to shop for everything in the Amazon store, right? Remember when you were like, whoa, it's awesome. I get to get anything I want on Amazon, but if I don't want it, I can get something else. Now you'll just only have that option. It's only Amazon all day, every day. And they should take care of people because they took all our data to make this world right now. So we deserve some reparations. And, you know, all that to say, I think we need to start. The only way to start is to set the precedent. So I think one interesting thing that, you know, the MAGA crew is going to have to do, probably, they're going to have to suck it up and they're going to have to advocate for Black reparation, because that's the one that's the closest to happening. And if that happens, then later on, when we're at that point where we have no ability to make a living because Zuckerberg and Musk and all these people have taken it away from us through stealing our identities, our personalities, our culture, our output, our creative output, our content, our conversation, everything that they have surveilled out of us, everything that they have taken from us to inform their LLMs and make these agentic AI things possible, right? All of this shit. Once they have taken all of that, then they owe us, because the world that they create wouldn't exist without people. And so it's the same thing with slavery. The only thing about slavery, I think, is just that it's been so long that you don't know how you're even supposed to give the reparation. Like, who do you give it to? A lot of people are mixed race, racially. I don't know how you would work it out without it looking extremely racist. You know what I mean? Like, what are you, 1/3 black? You get 1/3 of this money, and then you start dividing people's, you know, racial makeup. It's not a good look, which, who cares? I mean, give people money. But we're going to have to do black reparations, people. Get it together, because that's the one we could win first. And then in the future, we'll win the one against, you know, the Zuckerbergs of the world, the ones that the cigar chompers, like, you know, these Disney CEOs work for. Because that's another thing, you know, I never understood this, man, growing up. Oh, my baby's calling me. I gotta go. But these cigar chompers, everybody, you know, when you grow up in a shitty neighborhood, you think that the cigar chompers, the CEOs, are actually the guys, you know, the Epstein guys, the guys that Epstein would hit up. But actually, a CEO is more of a pilot, right? A corporation is like a plane, an airplane for money making. It's a little vehicle. And CEOs are just highly trained, highly technically skilled pilots. That's all they do. So they manage the corporations for the people who are actually invested in it, the actual rich people. And that's something I never understood. So I'm just glad I know it now. I'm sharing it with you in case you're like me, and that's something that might be eye-opening to you, but it definitely was for me. But, you know, anyway, I'm advocating for reparations. That's all I'm saying, okay? And now I gotta go. My baby's calling me, all right? Epstein didn't kill himself and apparently wasn't running a sex trafficking ring for powerful men, according to the FBI's files, which is interesting because why would... Epstein was clearly a smart guy. Like, why would he have that on file, right? He wouldn't have that on file. That would just be something that he did, that he had it in his head. Maybe he was a savant, right? Good memory or some shit like that. But anyway, the guy would cover his trail and nothing would be on paper. For you to say that he wasn't running a sex trafficking ring for powerful men, I mean, what do you want from the guy? A fucking spreadsheet? Is that what you want? That's the smoking gun we're waiting for? A spreadsheet? That's something that an agentic AI on Moltbook would expect. So give me a fucking break. All right? I'm just saying. All right. Look, I really got to go. Trump hated the halftime show. Bad Bunny is having a great time with the rest of America. He's definitely more relatable at this point culturally than country music singers, clearly. Because more people live that life. Everybody's getting their nails done. Who the fuck is talking about fishing in Arkansas? You know what I mean? That's not where we're at. Anyway, look, I gotta go. My baby's calling me. Thank you for tuning in to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name was Melissa Diaz. This was the Melissa Diaz Report. Tune in next Monday for some more rants for your ear holes and a companion for the end of the world. That's what I am for you. We're gonna do it together. We're out. We're out of here. We're out here. I'll tell you where I go when I go off grid. I'll let you know. I'll give you the coordinates, and then we could just all meet up there and just have a live experience for once together. Anyway, I gotta go. See ya. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.